Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
We made it to Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. The final day of the first week of this very show. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. 803-0930, star 930 will get you on the show. We have a lot to talk about. Yes, I was in the airport yesterday when the water stopped running, and I will give a list of what I saw. Also, just air travel in general has gotten miserable. I mean, my trip in May, my trip which was supposed to be last night, but was early this morning. Lots of stories to get to there. Also, obviously, the continued fallout from the Zyglus cartoon. But we begin with Carl Calabrese, who you regularly hear at 1 o'clock with David Bellavia. That will be changing next week, but I asked Carl for one more week at 1. And Carl, thank you so much for making time this Friday.
Oh, you're welcome, Joe, and congratulations on your show, and it's well-deserved.
Thank you very much. Carl, let's start with what every politician's talking about, and that is this Zyglus cartoon. What's your thoughts on it and your thoughts on the reaction?
I frankly didn't see it. which cartoon? I tend to avoid the editorial page of the Buffalo News because it increases my blood pressure.
Oh, well, very, very wise. This is, it was a Zyglus cartoon, and it has a picture of a guy in a MAGA hat. Floating down in the Texas flood, and the caption next to it, of course, I lose it as soon as I'm trying to explain it, but the caption, says something about the government's the problem, not the solution, and pretty much saying, well, this is what people in Texas voted for. We heard it from the Zyglus cartoon. We heard it from the pediatrician in Texas that, said beside the MAGA voters, right, this is what you voted for. I mean, just the vile political hatred from people, when we still have 160 missing.
Yeah, I mean, this is the political narrative of the left, that it's all Trump's fault and MAGA Nation's fault. And we're going to continue to hear this, but the facts of the matter speak otherwise. And I know a little bit about this, Joe, because when I was deputy county executive, I was in charge of homeland security for the county and on a regional basis. And when we put our homeland security plans together, which, by the way, was recognized by the Department of Homeland Security in Washington as a best practice in the nation, we always said, look, the first response has got to be at the local level. The second responder to come in will be the state. And the last one to come in will be the federal government, because they're so big and bureaucratic. It's like trying to turn a cruise ship. OK, and so you better prepare to have your people, whether it be a man-made disaster or a natural disaster, to deal with it right away. Because if you wait for the federal government, you're going to be terribly disappointed, and there's going to be a lot more damage and casualties than if you were able to respond. The federal government, all this talk about, oh, the budgets were cut and there weren't enough people, nonsense. The facts show that the National Weather Service was fully staffed, in fact, had more meteorologists on than they normally do, that they began tracking this storm and giving warnings a full 24-plus hours in advance. And unfortunately, this area, which is known as Flash Flood Alley, has not taken steps to give early notification. And the last notification came at 1:15 in the morning of the tragedy, because that's when the Weather Service realized that their data was showing that the storm was going to stall right over this particular community and dump just a ton of rain. Now, the problem is 1:15 in the morning, people are sleeping. So how do you get notices to people who are sleeping? They have their phones turned off or on vibrate. Well, one of the things that the local governments have not done, even though it's been recommended, is the old-fashioned sirens. Now, when I was a kid, I lived near the Brighton Volunteer Fire Company. This is before radios and Wi-Fi and everything else. And when there was a fire, the way that fire company would call the volunteers to the hall to respond was by a siren, okay? And when that thing went off, if it went off at 2 o'clock in the morning, it not only woke up the firemen, it woke up the entire neighborhood. But that's an old way of doing it, but a very effective way if you have to notify people in the middle of the night. The local communities have debated building sirens and turned it down because they said it was too costly and it would be too disruptive. So unfortunately, a lot of the blame for the poor response lands at the first level, being the local level. And, you know, but we live in a time when no matter what happens, it's going to be blamed on MAGA, Trump, Republicans. And that's just the way it is. But if you look at the facts and what happened and what should have been done differently, the local government really bears the brunt of the blame in this.
You know, Carl, earlier in the week, I was talking about the reason I think it seems that when, you know, Republicans or the right is in charge, you've got people on the left that they don't know how to handle people saying things they don't agree with. And I attribute that to, you know, you go to college and it's just a liberal echo chamber. I mean, Ben Shapiro's events canceled, conservatives told not to, you know, can't do events. And then they get into the real world and realize, well, you can't just shut up every dissenting opinion to yours.
Well, you know, the left has been coddled by what I've begun calling the myth-making media for generations. And they're not used to the, you know, the intellectual combat that Republicans have to learn to deal with. And so it's like any muscle. If you don't use it, it atrophies. And so the left has gotten very used to pretty much having their way with the myth-making media, supporting them, protecting them, making their arguments for them. And now in a new age of alternative medias where they are subject to criticism and the need to debate with facts and rationality their positions, they're just not good at it anymore. They go to the talking points almost right away. And I think that's a direct result of the fact that they've had their way with the media for a couple of generations, maybe more. And as I said, the muscles atrophy after all those years. And that's what I see in the left in terms of their ability to respond to legitimate attacks with legitimate debate.
Carl, obviously the continued talk on the left is in politics is Mamdani, you know, in New York. And now this is apparently going to branch off to some primaries of people that I would say are pretty far left, but I guess not far left enough. I mean, are we really starting to see a division, possibly a three-way division in the Democratic Party?
Oh, I think we've been watching it develop for many years. You know, I've always said that the Democrat Party created a Frankenstein monster when it gave more and more influence over to the progressive left wing of their party, which I've always said is probably between 35 and 40%, but it's where the energy of the party comes from. It's where the elites come from, and it's where the money comes from. And so they punch a lot harder than their weight class would demand. But yeah, it's been coming. Remember, go back to the AOC model. When AOC beat a very established incumbent member of Congress, a Democrat, how did she do it? She ran in a primary, which is low turnout. You can control the vote. She picked an opponent who probably was overconfident and didn't think he could lose to a Democratic socialist, or much like Byron Brown with India Walton. And she won. And now we see this happening in New York with Mamdani. It's a primary. It's a lower turnout. He motivates his base, the Gen Z voter, and he wins. Now, the question is, how does that hold up in a general election? Don't know yet. My gut tells me that he's in a position that the more the merrier. If Cuomo stays in the race and Adams stays in the race, you got Curtis Sliwa as a Republican in the race, his chances of winning in a four-way race are are increased. But I think you're going to see this more around the country. Remember David Hogg, who used to be one of the vice chairs of the National Democrat Committee, has been ousted now. But you know, he has said he is going to raise money and run challengers from the left against incumbent Democrats. He's going to do it. He says he's going to do it just in safe districts. So you unlikely you'll be turning that over to a Republican in a general election. But you're seeing this movement continue to build. And the Democrats have got a real problem on their hands. I had this discussion with a very active Democrat a couple of years ago when she expressed frustration with her party's inability to speak to blue-collar, high school-educated people in different towns in this county. And I said to her, look, you guys turned the keys to the car over to the progressive left 10, 15 years ago, and they've been having a good time driving the car, but now they've driven it too close to the edge of the left edge of the cliff. And you and other people like you, the adults in the party, are going to now come back into the room with the kids and say, okay, kids, give us back the keys. And the kids are going to probably express an expletive and not want to give you back those keys. And I said, you're not getting those keys back without a temper tantrum. So watch for the temper tantrum on the left as the adults try to get those car keys back.
Carl, earlier in the week, we were talking about the idea of the city-run grocery store and just giving the government more control of everyday things. You wrote an opinion piece on this.
I did. I've submitted it to the news. I don't think it's been in yet. Another voice column. And when I saw his proposal for city-run owned grocery stores, it brought back a memory of a lesson I used to give when I taught at UB. I taught at the University of Buffalo for 17 years as an adjunct professor in the School of Architecture and Planning. It was a course called local government policy and politics. It was meant for young people who would be going into planning and either working directly for a government or working for a company that works for government. And when we got to the section of the course on bureaucracy, I would ask this question. I usually had 25, 30 students. I'd say, how many of you have either lived in New York City or visited New York City? Always got a pretty good response. And I'd say, you know, one of the marvels of New York City is food. Both the diversity of food choices and the abundance of food choices. I said, no matter what your dietary medical requirements are, your personal taste, your any type of medical situation, your national origin, heritage, preferences, no matter what they are, there's always that food available in abundance. And I would say, how does that happen? I said, every morning, literally thousands of trucks come into New York City, and they deliver food to markets and bodegas and restaurants based on what the owners of those establishments know their customers are willing to buy. I said, there's no central planning in it. It happens by thousands of individual decisions. And I would ask the question, what do you think would happen to the supply of food and the price of food if New York City had a Department of Food Distribution? And my answer, which very seldom got any pushback from the class, was, you know, it wouldn't be long before that department was captured by special interest groups. There's a term for it called agency capture. And eventually the food police would take over. And they would say, you know, French food's got too much fat in it. We got to cut back. Italian food's got too many carbs. Cut back. Chinese food's got too much MSG. Cut back. And the price would go up and the choice would go down. And, you know, socialism always produces shortages and always results in food lines, bread lines. And be careful. Be careful what you wish for with this guy, because if he's successful, you know, that's the future that awaits New York City. Forget the abundance and the diversity of food that we've all just taken for granted in New York City.
It's so interesting to me because you said, you know, socialism ends up in food lines, bread lines. I mean, most examples of socialism, it either ends horribly or it ends in a dictatorship. And, you know, people go, well, it'll be different this time. That's like if I took money out of the bank, Carl, and said, and didn't pay the loan back. But I said, guys, it'll be different this time. Give me more money. I promise I'll pay it back.
I said, you know, the retort from the left is, well, it's never been tried in its pure form, the way it's supposed to be. And my reaction is, well, then it's the unluckiest economic government policy the world has ever seen, because it's been tried everywhere. It's been tried on every continent. And in every continent, whether it be Europe, Asia, Southeast Asia, Africa, it fails and it produces the same results. Shortages, autocratic, if not dictatorial governments, food lines, and social unrest. It always does. So don't tell me it hasn't been tried properly. It's been tried just about every continent. And the results are always the same, regardless of who's in charge of that particular socialist government.
Interesting. The party that wants to save democracy wants socialism.
And wants to put their political opponent in jail and censor social media of conservative thought. A funny thing that.
Speaking of the White House, Carl, I want to get your thoughts. The Biden physician, you know, he was questioned and didn't answer anything, pled the fifth on every question. Is that what we're going to get out of this investigation? How do you think this is going to go forward?
Oh, I'm not surprised at all. I said he's either. I didn't expect him to take the fifth. I expected him to talk about doctor-patient privilege. But when he was asked a question, were you ever asked to lie about Joe Biden's mental state and capacity? When he took that Fifth Amendment there, I know it's a constitutional right, but the fact of the matter, the reality of the matter is when people hear someone reply that way, they just think he's got something to hide. And so, you know, from a visual standpoint, an optic standpoint, not a good start. I don't know where this thing is going to go. In order for something to break, you're going to need somebody on the inside who knew the true condition of Joe Biden and realized how bad it was. You're going to need somebody like that to essentially be the whistleblower, come forward and say, I'm going to tell all. Democrats tend not to do that. They tend to circle the wagons and keep their mouths shut.
Carl, you know, looking forward, I always have to ask you a looking forward question to the next even year election. And, you know, the Democrats are running on Medicaid, right? That's the big buzzword now. Let's not, you know, God forbid we look into the stats and see the real numbers. But looking into Medicaid, and they're going to run on, well, you know, people should be able to sit on their couch, do nothing. Able-bodied people should be able to sit on their couch, do nothing, and get Medicaid. Is this going to work if people have a year to see it before the polls, the election?
Plus, Joe, also about illegals. It's not going to include illegals in Medicaid coverage. Now, the question is, how is this going to hold up? Will it hold up? If the Democrats make this argument, will it hold up? The answer is yes if the Republicans don't counter and don't get in the fight. I think the Republican Party has not done a good job up to this point of explaining that their so-called cuts involve, as you say, requiring, I think it's 20 hours a week of work by able-bodied recipients. By the way, Medicaid is the only means-tested welfare program that does not have a work requirement. Republicans, I don't think, have done a good enough job stressing the fact that illegals will now be excluded, which has huge support amongst American people, and that even with these so-called cuts, Medicaid spending over the next 10 years will continue to grow. Only in Washington will an increase in spending be considered a cut if it doesn't equal what the Democrats' increase in spending is. So it's incumbent upon the Republicans to go on the offense, talk about what's in that bill. You know, if that bill hadn't been passed, Donald Trump's tax cuts of 2017 would have been reversed, and we would have seen the biggest tax increase in American history. That's any Democrat who voted against that bill essentially was voting for the biggest tax increase in American history. And I've told people, your tax bill would probably go up at least $2,400, $2,500 a year, $200 a month more to the federal government. Do you really want to do that? And if you do, you can do it now on your income tax. You can check the box that says, I want to contribute more to the government. Here's an extra $2,400. Very few people sign up for that. So that's what the Republicans have to do. Go on the offense, talk about those issues, talk about the border being tightened up, talk about defense spending going up. And I think it's a winning argument. But again, Democrats tend to stick to the talking points and deliver those things better than Republicans do. The opponents, they got to get in the game and start touting the advantages to the everyday American person and family of this bill.
You know, John Fetterman is he's, you know, speaking out. He's supporting ICE. Is John Fetterman, do you think he's a true moderate Democrat, or is he look at Pennsylvania and say, hey, this is a purple state, I gotta moderate?
Yes and yes. I think he is compared to where the party has gone, it has moved so far left that even, you know, again, take the visual of a football field, the gridiron with the 50-yard line being a moderate. And as you move farther to the left, you go from slightly left of center to communism. If you move more to the right, you go slightly right of center to, you know, radical right-wing groups. Fetterman is now maybe on the 40-yard line on the left. But because the rest of the party is down to the 5-yard line, he looks moderate. But you're also correct that, you know, all politics is local. He looks at his state. He looks at the presidential votes.
And he said, you know, if I'm going to survive in the state, it's changing. The state of Pennsylvania, just a few years back, had 1.3 million more Democrats than Republicans. It's now down under 300,000. It's about 295 and shrinking. So he sees that, and he sees his future has got to be, you know, more to that slightly left of center than where his the rest of his party is going. So I would expect more of the same from John Fetterman as we go forward.
Wouldn't it be great if New York could start seeing numbers like that, Carl?
Yeah, it sure would. But, you know, New York and California are two very strange creatures. And, yeah.
It's they sure are. Hey, Carl, really appreciate you joining me this Friday. Hope you have a great weekend and looking forward to hearing you at your new time with David next Friday.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much.
That is Carl Calabrese. You hear him every week with David Bellavia. And again, starting next week, they'll be at their new time, I believe noon on Friday. So you'll still hear Carl and David. But I always love talking to Carl. And I know we'll be talking a few times as well as politics continues. It's always great to catch up with Carl Calabrese and great to catch up with you. 803-0930, star 930, if you want to join the show. When we come back, we'll bring back up that the Zyglus cartoon, again, in the news after we left yesterday. We'll talk all about that. Would love to get your take as well. And then air travel in 2025. What has happened? We'll talk about that and much more. Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, welcome back. Joe Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. It's great to have you on this Friday. Thanks again to Carl Calabrese for joining me in the first segment. Would love to talk with you, 803-0930. We also got the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, 803-0930. That gets you on. Thanks to John Anthony on the other side of the glass. And Tanner will be here momentarily as well. Great to have both of them. Hope Jimmy's enjoying his extended weekend. Greatly deserved, obviously. So yesterday we talked about the Adam Zyglus cartoon. Just, in my opinion, just a vile cartoon. Now, he was to give a speech or some kind of event at the History Museum yesterday. Now, that ended up being canceled, and momentarily, I will tell you why that was canceled. Again, this was going to be from 6 to 8 at the History Museum, but the event was canceled because of threats. Here's the letter from the Newspaper Guild. The Buffalo Newspaper Guild and Buffalo History Museum are postponing planned happy hour event this evening at the museum in light of serious concerns about public safety and direct threats that have been warranted intervention by Buffalo police. Now, I'm going to start off by saying, obviously, violence, threats, no, right? Those are wrong, and that's the wrong response to anything. And the people who made those threats, obviously will be dealt with by the Buffalo police. So I want to put that disclaimer out there. There should be no threats made. There should be no violence. So I'm putting that disclaimer out there, and there would never be any call for that, right? We should be able to talk about our difference of opinion. We should be able to talk out our differences. That's the beauty of this country, is we have the freedoms to discuss our differences. Something I said yesterday, you have a lot of people who don't want to talk about our differences. They don't want to come on this show, right? I'm starting next week. Every week, I'm going to have an elected Democrat have a segment on this show. And I'm hoping for a different elected Democrat every week. Do I have confidence that it will happen every week? No, because I think after Mitch Nowakowski and Joe Immenger, it's going to be very difficult to get Democrats on. But I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best. Every week, we will have a segment with an elected Democrat. Because I agree that we should be discussing our differences. And that is how we have debate in this country. We should be able to have civil conversations back and forth. So the event was postponed yesterday, and obviously your favorite politicians were commenting on that. And I want to first go to County Executive Mark Poloncarz, because, of course, his two cents has to be given. Now, this is the county executive who was in Cheektowaga for a town hall meeting last night while the water main break, which I believe is still closing parts of Union Road in Cheektowaga, was happening. So as a sign of the aging infrastructure in Western New York, he was there. He was in Cheektowaga. Wonder if anyone asked him a question about it. He put this, the county executive. The job of an editorial cartoonist is to provoke thought, something the Buffalo News, Adam Zyglis, does very well. Regardless of whether you agree with the sentiment of his pieces, at no time should he or his loved ones be subject to threats or violence or death because a person disagrees with him or his message or tone. And the county executive is absolutely correct. In a civilized society, we must always settle our differences by discussion, not violence. Again, Mark Poloncarz is 100% correct. Congratulations, County Executive Mark Poloncarz. The thing is, he says one thing and does another. Mark Poloncarz does nothing but talk down to Republicans. Mark Poloncarz does nothing but promote articles and opinion pieces that make Republicans are the bad guy. Everything is the Republicans' fault. The city of Buffalo is the way it is because of MAGA Republicans, even though the city of Buffalo hasn't been in Republican control for 60 years. But this guy will always make the Republicans be, they're the boogeyman. In Mark Poloncarz's world, and here's the thing, he won't come on to talk about it. He won't go on with David. He won't go on with me. He won't go on with Tom. He won't go on the morning news. So he's saying one thing, but he's not living by that. This is a man that continues to run from criticism. He runs away from criticism. And I agree with him. We should all be able to discuss our differences. Adam Zyglis should be on this show right now talking about why he thought it was appropriate to make a political statement while over 100 people are still missing and over 100 people are dead. So, yeah, you're right. There should be no threats of violence, no threats of death. There should be no violence. We should be able to talk this out. But the Mark Poloncarz and the Jeremy Zellners of the world, they want to pretend that the other side doesn't exist. Mark Poloncarz wants to eliminate Republicans out of Amherst. Those are his words. I'm paraphrasing, but those are his words. So, buddy, if you're listening, I know people in your office are always have us tuned in. If you're listening, call in. Call in. I know you have an exciting life, right? You've dated many women. I saw it in the Buffalo News. But come on the show. You want to live the words you speak. You can have the weekly segment with an elected Democrat. That can be you every week. Let's have, you want to give political commentary. Well, come on and give political commentary. Or no, you just want to give it in your echo chamber, right? In the Rath building, minus a few legislators who are vocal, the Rath building has become a great echo chamber for Mark Poloncarz and his yes men and yes women. I mean, the things he puts online accusing Trump of being, I mean, is Poloncarz. I mean, again, I got to go back to the article in the Buffalo News where he had to mention that he won some stupid presidential trivia bit. I mean, talk about, anyway. So if I agree, county executive, I agree with everything you said. Every word you said, Mark Poloncarz, I agree with. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about our differences. You're right. That's what we're supposed to do. And I agree with you that violence and threats have no place in our political discourse. 100%. We agree on that. And I, from what you've written on your post, we agree that we should be discussing these. And people in a public forum like this, instead of putting stuff on Twitter and blocking people who don't agree with you. I mean, you want to talk about pathetic. Jeremy Zellner and the Erie County Democrats, both accounts have blocked me on social media. Really? Were you getting sick of all my Mets tweets? So they say one thing, they don't want to talk. I'm telling you, I give my Democrat segment 4 weeks before I'm really struggling to get a new elected Democrat every week. But I'm going to try because I love this audience and I love having this show. And I'm not going to just say something. I'm going to actually get it done. But the point remains that this cartoon is out of line. I can't believe I'm 36 years old and saying this cartoon is out of line. But it is. And if you haven't seen it, if you're wondering what the talk's about, it's the caption says swept away. There's a sign that says Texas Kerr County. It's flooded. There's a guy in a MAGA hat holding the sign help with the speech bubble. Government's the problem, not the solution. Again, this was put out there when there were, you know, when the stats were pretty well known. Over 100 dead, over 100 missing, children dead. But people like Adam Zyglis and Mark Poloncarz, they only see the political messaging. How can we make this political? Ignore the tragedy. And I just think that is in such horrendous taste. While there are still people missing, families mourning, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a child, and you're going to go out there and draw cartoons, which, I mean, it's 2025, we're talking about political cartoons, and you're going to draw this, and then what, run away from the media? Mark Poloncarz, Madam Zyglis, open lines. John, if they call in, just pop them up. Because I want to talk to them. I want to give them a space to talk and explain why this is okay. We all agree that the threats were over the line. The threats have no place in politics. The violence has no place in politics. We agree on that. So explain to me why me and David and Michael Crocker and the New York Post and Fox News, tell me why we are wrong to be upset over this. 803-0930, star 930. That's the number to get on. And let's go to Chris. Chris, you are up. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Joe. Chris Jacobs here.
Hey, Chris. Congressman, how you doing?
Yeah. I'm good. Nice to talk with you. I haven't talked to you in a long time, and obviously still listen to all the different broadcasts you're on. You're a busy guy. And I had just wanted to call in and thank you for allowing me the opportunity. You know, I like so many people, I believe in our community, even though we're far away from Texas, I think, you know, a lot of us just have not gotten out of our thoughts and our prayers, you know, what is going on down in Texas. And as a father of, in particular, as a father of four young children, I just every day have been thinking about these families in particular who, you know, had their daughters go off to camp so excited and parents so excited for the experience they were going to have. And then to have this just a tragedy happen that just is unconscionable and parent, you know, the worst nightmare of a parent. And thinking about that, and then seeing the Adam Zyglis cartoon, I just was so shocked at the level of what I just felt to be cruelty. In terms of in this moment to that would be where you would lead your craft. And, you know, look, I've been a political person. I understand the slings and arrows of politics. Our nation has always had parties and always had partisan fights and debates as we need to and as we always should. But historically, our nation, during a time of crisis and human suffering, whether it be war or tornado or what we experience here, we come together and unify and we put those things aside. That's what makes us a great nation and great communities. And to take this moment in time with this level of a tragedy and to go down the road of a partisan kind of attack, I think it just is something we need to speak out on. And first, let me say, yes, any threats, they should be universally condemned. And I'm a person who's been in office. I've had threats. It's not fun. But that is a very small minority of knuckleheads. But back on the topic of this, I think as a community, and I hope as a bipartisan community, beyond the political realm, we just need to get back to where we were in terms of the appropriate time. And people say, I've seen some statements on the First Amendment. Yes, I'm fully aware of the First Amendment. And does Adam Zyglis have a right to do this? He absolutely has a right. But he should use his judgment. And he has immense power with that pen. And there's times where he needs to decide not to do these sort of things. And we've seen this in the past with the very anti-Semitic post that he had made, that there needs to be some more internal governor on this individual and what he does because of the importance and the power that he has in that paper and on this community. So I thank you for bringing the attention. And I hope this could be an opportunity for us to, again, kind of have guardrails on this sort of visceral response that our community is getting, as they should, because this is just beyond the pale.
It really is. And you know, Chris, we talked about a month or two removed from Congress, and you were talking about how divisive it was getting. Like, and I believe you said you saw this, you know, starting where it was really getting. I mean, we have Adam Zyglis, we have the doctor in Texas that put the thing about MAGA voters. I mean, you were starting to see this during the first Trump years, correct?
Yes, I think, you know, there's been a coarsening of our society, our discourse. I certainly attribute to social media. It's very easy to, you know, and you know this, anonymously kind of make a comment and somebody else may, and things that people in person would not say. We see this all over, and it's taken a long way to get there, and I think it's going to take a long way to get back. But you know, we're not Washington D.C., we're not Los Angeles, we're Buffalo, and I think that we should start here with saying, okay, look, we're not saying that Adam Zyglis should not have the right to do this. We're just saying you have immense power with that pen. we expect you to be responsible with that power. And this is an irresponsible act that I think it's one of those opportunities that I would hope we come together on a bipartisan basis and say, let's not do this anymore. And in the next time, we don't want it to do on a liberal issue or whatever, because this is an issue with people are suffering. They've lost their children. And they left their children at a camp. This is supposed to be a joyful period of time. And this is what they're dealing with. I would hope to God no one of these families sees this cartoon, that this came from Buffalo. This is what they feel. That this is what they, the first time they hear of Buffalo, this is what they say comes out of Buffalo. We're better than that. We are so much better than that. So that's my view on this. And a political has been, I'm just advancing my two cents that I think our community deserves better.
Well, Chris, I appreciate the call. You know, I'm sorry to do this, but since I got you here, I've got to ask you, the Buffalo mayoral primary, obviously Sean Ryan won. You served with Sean Ryan. What are your thoughts of him being the leading candidate now to most likely take over in the mayor's seat?
Yes, Sean was in the assembly when I was there, we overlapped. We represented a lot of areas together, and we worked well together. We delivered resources to a lot of good things. I thought I worked with him. We really, ideologically, it's no surprise we are not aligned, and I guess the election is continuing to go, but he's going to be the odds on favorite. If he's in, my only hope is that it's very easy up in Albany to talk about ideology and the broad strokes of politics and where you think things would go. As mayor, he's going to have to, make things run on time and fill the potholes. And he's got a major budget issue to deal with. So I hope if it is him, that he works on what really Buffalo needs and not some ideological kind of crusade. And certainly I hope whoever gets in, we need this city to thrive, and I'll do anything I can with whoever ends up prevailing.
Hey, former Congressman Chris Jacobs, thank you so much for calling in, and don't be a stranger to the show, okay?
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
That is former Congressman Chris Jacobs. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll talk to you after the break. It's Joe Beamer on a Friday. Yes, we made it to the end of the first week of the show. Hope you're enjoying the show so far. We'll talk with you after the break on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yes, final hour of the week. We made it to Friday. Taste of Buffalo this weekend. We got Canal Fest starting on Sunday. Lots of fun stuff going on here in Western New York. And I do want to get talking about summer events in the final segment, but I will continue. We got some calls, 803-0930. Also, the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board is up and running over the Adam Zyglis cartoon. Again, me and the county executive, we agree on something. Can you believe that? We agree on his comment that he made on social media, because that's where he runs. He won't come here. He won't do an interview here. But he said, the job of an editorial cartoonist is to provoke thought. I don't agree with that part. Something the Buffalo News' Adam Zyglis does very well. Again, I don't agree with that part. But I agree with this. Regardless of whether you agree with the sentiment of his pieces or not, no time should he or his loved ones be subject to threats of violence or death. He's absolutely right. Mark Poloncarz is absolutely right. Then he goes on to say, in a civilized society, we must always settle our differences of opinion by discussion, not violence. Mr. County Executive, you're right. Peter, Dan, one of you are listening. Tell Mark Poloncarz, I said he was right. Now, why don't you act on it and call into the show? Call into the show or be the first elected Democrat in my new weekly segment where we talk with an elected Democrat. Because you're right, we should be settling our differences by discussion. But you and Zellner and Sean Ryan, you never want to come on. You never want to talk with people who might challenge you, who might not think the way you do. You want an echo chamber. You want Erie County to be your echo chamber with no diversity of thought. And this cartoon, it did not provoke thought. It provoked one thought that I think the person who wrote it, I think the person who wrote it is pretty heartless.
That's the thought that's on my head, on my mind. Because you put politics and making a political statement above grieving families and families who just want an answer, still looking for their loved one. It's disgusting. And again, I agree. We should not be threatening violence. Violence has no place in our politics. Absolutely correct. Let's talk it out. Lead by example, Mr. County Executive. Lead by example, Sean Ryan. Lead by example, Jeremy Zellner. Tim Kennedy also chimed in, and Tim Kennedy was on Hardline, so I have to give Congressman Kennedy credit. He will come on the show. I'm sure he will be one of my first elected Democrat segment because he will actually get back to me. And Adam, who works in his office, is always very quick to text me back, and I'm greatly appreciative of that. But he said, Adam Zyglis uses his art to challenge, question, and inspire. That's what a free press does. I stand with Adam and his family and everyone working to protect journalism here in Western New York. To challenge, question, so what are you challenging? People's heartful response to a tragedy? I agree that you should get out in front and say that there's no place for violence in our politics. 100% agree you should say that. But I also think you should be, I don't know, a human and say that this was not the place or time for this cartoon. And I'm sure there's other, you know, oh, it's controversial. That's what he does. He draws controversial cartoons. All right. Let's see a controversial cartoon that would upset the political left. Huh? Oh, not going to see that in the Buffalo News? Not going to see that from Adam Zyglis? 803-0930, star 930. Would love to get your take. Let's go to Tanner. Did you tell me it was Steve in Orchard Park? Steve in Orchard Park.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Doing all right, Steve. Thank you so much for hanging during the break. I appreciate it.
Of course. All good. And I appreciate the discourse that you're attempting to establish here. With that note, full disclosure, I am an independent. I am not Democrat or Republican. So as we get into it. I think part of the issue is I agree that, first of all, like Mr. Zyglis is trying to perform a job and he should not lose his job. So liken that to baseball. Consider this a strikeout. If you go in and you bat 300 plus, you're in the Hall of Fame. Okay. That's number one. Number two is I think we're misguided by the loss of life and everybody's worried about talking about what the cartoon is focused on, which is blaming somebody. And what is that actual blame? In the city of Buffalo in the region, I come from a family of engineers. So if nobody went through this camp and saw that there are historical, there is a thing that is known, and this gets to an education point, of a 100-year floodplain. So every year we know the ice boom goes up on the lake. We know that Cazenovia Creek floods with ice, so on and so forth. It is the actual job of our educators and officials to make sure that our people in the area are aware of these things. Then that equates to a loss of life in this circumstance, which is completely terrible. Nobody wants to see anybody die. But now what I wanted, why I called in, is to liken that to people freezing in Buffalo. You're 36 years old. I'm a little older than you. Surprise, we have snowstorms. So what are we doing in a productive way to work together to prevent these known issues? And when we talk about budgets and people who spend money to do things, if it's foo-foo and you're just blowing money because your buddy wants to get a job or something, we don't have to go down that area. It's not productive. So I know that the shift towards people dying during a blizzard here is the main likening important thing. And when you look at a map, do people actually understand what a floodplain is? And then the distance between Texas and Buffalo, the Texas area, is a connecting point, which is why we are the United States. That's it. That's all I have to say.
So do you...
I'll hang on the line if you want, but...
Yeah, but Steve, I'm just... So what's your point on the cartoon? It's making a point?
It's politically motivated in the sense of
this person
has a job to do to generate traffic and do all that kind of thing. Like, he wants to make a point, right? And but the idea is people died, number one. And then if it was a local portion of it, we have to liken that on things that we need to do to educate our own population so that people don't die on natural events. We don't even have to open the door on climate change conspiracy or anything like that. We know that the ice boom goes up. We know that there's flooding here. What if for some reason and people on one of the rivers in Buffalo that go into Lake Erie died? Same idea from a weather event. Do we have the equipment and the responsibility and the wherewithal to support those kinds of emergency responses? And I'm not affiliated with like fire department or police.
Right.
It's just basic stuff. It's education.
Well, and so, when we had a blizzard 3 years ago, they didn't get the alerts out in time, and they didn't put the travel bans on in time, and that was a big issue here. And again, I think there was an appropriate time to talk about it.
Sure, you're old enough. I'm assuming you've been stuck in a snowstorm once here, right? Like. Let's graduate the conversation and use intelligence rather than being like, it's everything is all your fault and this produces nothing out of a conversation, because bottom line, people died, and I have never met a person who was happy about going to a funeral.
No,
unless you're in the mafia, which I have no idea what that looks like.
All right. Hey, Steve, appreciate the call. Steve, I almost hung up and I don't have a phone in front of me. Steve, thank you. Steve in Orchard Park, 803-0930. Star 930. I mean, yes, he has a job to do. I understand Steve's point. But, I mean, within reason, you know, as former Congressman Chris Jacobs said, you have the freedom to draw whatever you want. But the Buffalo News also has a decision to not publish that. Or someone at the editorial board say, you know, this is not in good taste now, currently, while it's still going on. And also, I mean, yeah, I have freedom to say whatever I want on the radio. But guess what? If I say something that upsets the FCC, I don't have a job on Monday. So I also think we sometimes misunderstand what freedom of speech is. Yes, we have freedoms of speech. My employer also has freedom to fire me over anything I say. Your employer has the freedom to fire you over anything you post on social media. So I think sometimes we do misunderstand what freedom of speech is. Yes, we have the freedom. We can say whatever we want and not be punished by our government, but we can be by our employer. And I think this cartoon, again, I'm not calling to cancel anybody. I'm just asking why this cartoon at this moment, and if the roles were reversed, if it was Biden as president. And this was a point against the Biden administration at a time of tragedy. Do you think the same people would be standing up and applauding Adam Zyglis? No. No, I'll tell you this. I'd still be saying it's wrong. But too many people in our government, many politicians, it's all about my team, your team, my team, your team. The structure of the Erie County Democrats right now, it's all a team sport. It's my team over anything else. And as I always tell you, the people who hate us, the people who hate you and me in this country, they don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. They view you as American. And we need to start viewing ourselves as American before our political affiliation. And that's something that I guarantee you, Mark Poloncarz does not look at America before his Democrat affiliation. It's Democrat first. And you can just see that by the way he talks on social media. And again, he avoids going on any program where he believes he will get a dissenting question or any pushback on anything he said. 803-0930, star 930. That is the number to get on. Tom is in Wheatfield. Tom, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for calling in.
Joe, thank you. Outstanding job. I've listened to you over the years, and it's perfect timing that you have your own show now. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Tom. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
I'm a registered independent. I lean toward the right. I kind of like, I'm a tweener. you know, if it works, I'll vote for it.
I love that thinking.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm open to anything. I tend to, this cartoon, you know, it has to be a fireable offense. It was a knee-jerk reaction. It was unfiltered. And I'm unsure of which date it happened on.
I think
I'm
it was posted,
you know,
on Monday.
Yeah, slow day for news. It's terrible. I kind of hoped, not out of retribution or out of any sort of malice, that they did have that event yesterday, just to see what would have happened.
You mean someone questioning Adam Zyglis and having a, trying to have a discussion with him?
Yeah, I mean, he's able to throw a punch, but he's not able to take it. You know, like, they got to duck him away. I mean, you had Salman Rushdie with the satanic verses. He had open forums, you know. Why can't this gentleman take the shots?
Well, verbally. Yeah, like
questions.
I agree that he should have to defend this cartoon. Yes, verbally is the key word there, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have two very good friends who are outstanding columnists at the Buffalo News. You know, and it's sort of, it almost clouds my vision of the newspaper as a whole, because I would never lean socialist or socialist Democrat or communist. This country's amazing. So, but I mean, I guess that's all I have to say. I'm not in favor of the cartoon. Terrible timing, terrible knee jerk, unfiltered. Yeah. Let's just send it through and post it. That's my thought process. I'm also a former journalist, so I tend to understand how these things work. I just think whoever was higher up in the process of posting that, you know, there needs to be some sort of,
or just defend
accountability.
It. Yeah, come on the show and defend it. I don't think that's asking too much. Hey, Tom, we're up against the clock, but I appreciate the call. Tom in Wheatfield. And I agree that I'd like, again, no violence, no threats, right? Those people should be handled with by the Buffalo Police. Let me just come out and say that. But verbally, I do think, if someone, you know, if someone wants to verbally challenge and say, you know, Adam, why did you think this was a good time for this cartoon? I'd love to hear that. Right? Defend what you put in the paper. Verbally being the key word. Have a conversation. Let's have a back and forth. Let's do what the county executive is asking us to do and settle our differences by discussion. I'm all for that. I don't know if you picked up on this. I love to talk. I'm a big fan of talking. And I think we need more of it. I think we have too many of the Jeremy Zellners who block people who don't like them. And by the way, I have nothing against the person Jeremy Zellner. I don't like his politics. But Jeremy Zellner doesn't like my politics. He blocks me. The Erie County Democrats block me. I mean, it's childish. I agree. We should be having discussion. We need more of that in this country. It would do a lot for the division if we could talk to one another and didn't get all red in the face and run away when someone said something we didn't like and yell at someone and get hysterical because, oh my God, you voted for Trump. I can't even look at you. Really? Okay. I've had people tell me they can't look at me for different reasons. If we were able to talk with one another. Again, it starts by the people who are saying that. It starts by people like Mark Poloncarz, right, being an adult and coming on this station and defending things he says on social media. It starts with Adam Zyglis. Put the pencil down and let's have a discussion. Call in. Put you in front of the line. And I'm not going to be mean about it. I'm a pretty nice guy. I think I'm a pretty easygoing guy. So, yes, I want to make sure I hammer the point home. No threats, no violence. You're absolutely right. There's no place for violence in our politics. Discussion, I'm all for it. Give me a call. Let's talk about it. Jay in Amherst is on hold. Jay, your thoughts when you saw this cartoon?
Hey, Beamer. I think it's crass. I think it's cruel. And it had to be approved by the editorial board of the Buffalo Snooze, is what I used to call it. I've stopped reading that that paper years ago because of their biasness. And as for the local Democratic Party, you know, I think Adam, this cartoonist, like many others, the names you reference, I hate to say it, but they're cowards. If you believe in something and you have principles, then you'll debate it. You'll give facts and reasons and logic for what you're standing for and why. You won't be a coward and hide behind silence or whatever else you have, whether it's, I call him Mark Colin Cars, because I think he's full of crap most of the time. So if people aren't willing to share and talk about things, that's probably because they haven't thought it through, and they probably don't have a good logical, rational reason for the position they take. The people that have thought it through, we'll debate it. We'll discuss it till time immemorial. We're not afraid to talk to anybody. I don't care. But the other side, what I've seen again and again and again over the years, they are not willing to discuss things. And that's why I call them cowards.
Yeah. I think you're right. And I think a lot of it also has to do with, Jay, you know, you have to have a little intelligence and be, you know, and have some insight on what on your opinion. And I think a lot of people, they'll read the talking points, and they can't back it up because it's not something they've come up with. And I think we see that a lot in today's politics. Jay, I appreciate the call. We're up against the clock. Jay in Amherst, 803-0930, star 930. When we come back, I want to talk the Taste of Buffalo starting this weekend. I want to get into that. I also want to tell you about my my experience at the airport yesterday and this morning. Because if you don't follow me on social media, you have no idea what the last 12 hours was like for Joe Beamer. So I'd like to share that with you and maybe get your take on, has air travel gone from something that was a really fun experience to you're just hoping you get there within? It's like back in the day when you would, you know, schedule a cable appointment. I think they're a little better about it now, but when you would schedule a cable appointment and they would give you between the hours of 3 and 6, right? And you had to be home between these hours for them to come and install your cable. I feel like with air travel, we're just happy if we get there within a 3-hour window of when we were booked. I'll tell you that and so much more. One segment left. It's Beamer on WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
That's what I'm talking about. Welcome back. Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Tanner, does this mean that you want to go through with dressing up as Wham for Halloween? Is that the confirmation?
Was actually part of the reason I picked that song. The main reason is because you said they're spinning some 80s tracks where you are, and Wham is pretty 80s, and I remember that comment you made yesterday about us going as Wham for Halloween, so I guess let's consider this a declaration that I am down to do that.
All right, I'm telling you, I'm going to hold you to it because Halloween's on a Friday this year, Tanner, and I think Halloween's the most fun when it's on Friday, because you already let loose on Fridays at work, right? Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got Halloween. So I am. All right. When Spirit opens, you and me got to go find the right outfit to and wigs to fit Andrew and George.
I'm looking at their profile picture here on Spotify, and I got a leather jacket that somewhat matches the ones that they're wearing. The only thing that I need to work on is they don't necessarily have six packs, but they have somewhat toned abdomens. So I'm going to have to start doing some crunches and some Russian twists if I want to get there. But we'll make it happen. I got plenty of time for that.
That's right. We got till October. But yeah, they are. I'm telling you, as you said that, they are. Holiday is playing on the station whose studio I'm in today. So Holiday by Madonna is playing. They are spinning some 80s. And it's an all 80s weekend. 803-0930, star 930, gets you on the show. My thanks to Tanner. I know it's not easy when I'm on remote, so I'm greatly appreciative of John Anthony, Tanner, and Al Marenka in engineering. Also Tom Maddie, who helped with the setup earlier in the week to make sure everything was connected so it was easy flowing when we got here today. So, obviously, since you just heard, I'm not in Buffalo today, out of town just for today. I'll be back for Hardline on Sunday. But I was at the airport last night, and let me tell you, just a comedy of events that unfolded. So we get there, and as I told you yesterday on the show, my flight was already canceled, and it kept getting moved back, right? But we were like, well, we still have time to get the plane because the connecting plane also delayed. So, all right, we still have an hour. But then that got pushed to, all right, we have 35 minutes to get from the B concourse in Charlotte to the C concourse in Charlotte. But okay, fine, whatever. Well, it kept getting pushed back and pushed back. So we ended up taking a flight this morning, which, you know, good thing that I, for the last 8 years, had been getting up at 3:30. So that kind of helped with today. But as we were at the airport, the water main break on George Urban happened. George Urban and Union happened, and they lost all water at the airport. So only like two bathrooms were open. All the bars were closed because obviously they can't wash their hands, right? And they can't make certain drinks. So everything closes in the airport. And this was like 6 PM, right? Still a pretty busy time at the Buffalo Niagara Airport. So we find out about the water main break, and, you know, again, I think that's just a obvious example of the aging infrastructure in Western New York. The water main break we saw on Union that I think is still an issue today. Parts of that will be closed throughout the weekend. But remember when flying was fun? Remember, I mean, when I was a kid, you'd get the little wings, you'd get the peanuts, you could get seconds. If you wanted more of the snack, if you wanted another beverage, I'm telling you today, and I don't mean to always complain because, you know, I do love seeing the United States. And obviously when I go get Montana off my bucket list, I'll be flying there. But we flew today, all right, two flights, both 45 minutes to an hour. Not one of them served any beverage. Again, I wasn't going to drink. I'm working today, but it would have been nice to have a water, a sparkling water, right? Some snack mix because I missed breakfast. That would have been nice to have. No delivery of any of that on either flight. And I realize weather's going to happen, and I'm not going to blame the airline for weather, but this is the second time in 3 months that I have either had to switch flights because of my connection or, you know, I'm getting on my connecting flight all sweaty because I had a run at a busy airport from one gate to the other. In May, when I went down to Fort Myers, had a layover in Dulles Airport in Washington, D.C., and the flight was not overly delayed. I mean, I booked it with a quick layover. But then we get on the ground at Dulles, and they have us sit on the runway for 20 minutes. What are you doing? I don't ever remember that happening. I've flown into JFK. I've flown into Dulles before. We're just sitting on the tarmac waiting for like 20 minutes. And again, no beverage on the flight, no snack. You know, we're paying how much more today than we were 20 some years ago. And I don't know. I can't get a little bag of Chex Mix. I can't get a Diet Coke. I don't mean to complain because I like to travel. I like to see family. But I don't know if it would have been too much to ask for a coffee on the way down to Philadelphia this morning. Again, plane tickets are a little more expensive than they were when you were getting everything. I see these pictures back in the day, long before my time, where they would have a food cart going down. And I don't know how many flights that actually happened on, but I'm seeing people eating, three-course meals on the airplane. Now, I'm lucky if I get a little bag of cookies. I remember when I flew to Phoenix, Arizona, back in 03, 04. I can't remember exactly when it was. They gave us lunch on the plane. Now, it was nothing, I'm not going to write a great review. It's not a five-star lunch. But we had a sandwich, a bag of chips, a dessert. They did come back around with the beverage cart. And now it's just, again, like I said, you are happy if you get to your destination within a three-hour window. I mean, there is the risk you are taking if you are scheduling a flight to land an hour before you have to do something. Because, you would be crazy to do that. Because now there's a good chance you're going to be an hour and a half late. And again, I understand weather. But I just feel like it is more of a hassle to travel nowadays than anything else. And let's put the fun back in travel. Obviously, we want to be safe. We don't want to risk going through weather systems. That's not what I'm saying. But I don't know. Bring a little more of the fun. We're paying a lot more to get on those planes. Let's make a little more fun. And for the Buffalo Airport, I understand the water main break's not your fault. But man, was it uncomfortable watching people come out of the bathroom knowing they did not wash their hands. That's all I want to say about that. Also this weekend, so the Taste of Buffalo, and you've heard with Susan and Brian all week, they've been in, they've brought some treats with them as well. Coming in and talking about the different places throughout the Taste of Buffalo. It's a great event. And it fills up downtown Buffalo. And as you remember from a show we had earlier this week, I love anything that brings attention and people to downtown Buffalo. Right? I think if you want the resurgence of Buffalo, then you need there to be business and people feeding those businesses in the economic center of the city of Buffalo, which is supposed to be downtown Buffalo. So I'm a fan of Taste of Buffalo. I love Canal Fest in the Tonawandas. That's back a full week. It's really it's the kickoff to summer events, right? The Greek Fest is really like the first one you remember for summertime. That's really the first big one. But these are two big ones back to back. Old Home Days is coming up, obviously, in the middle of the month. You got Lawn Fates every weekend. And then you've got the Erie County Fair. We'll be there live every day. This show, live from the Erie County Fair. So I hope you'll join us then. But it's like I was talking about yesterday. We have all these great events. And summertime is great in Western New York. I love summertime in Western New York. The weather's perfect. But you look around the corner, and oh my gosh, Spirit Halloween's already getting ready to open up. So I don't want to dwell on that too much. I know I did that yesterday. But it is funny to see. We're just getting into the groove of some kind of event or overlapping events every week, every weekend in Western New York for the next few months. But in the meantime, as Tanner and I were talking about, getting ready to dress as Wham, Spirit Halloween is ready to go in full force and opening within the next month. So don't dwell on it. Enjoy every day, right? You get the most out of every day. Enjoy summer. If you have a boat, make sure you get the use out of that boat.
Because next thing you know, you'll be docking it or whatever you do for winterizing it for the cold winter. To me, summer, I mean, obviously summer goes by quicker because it's comfortable outside. But it seems like, maybe it's just the way things are being promoted, but it seems like summer enjoyment is getting less and less, going by quicker and quicker. Or maybe that's just life in general when you get older. You know, they warned me, when you get married, when you have a kid, life starts flying by. And maybe that's it. Maybe summer, you know, obviously it's the exact same as it was 20 years ago. But I feel like now summer, you would think summer would fly by when you were a school-aged kid and, you had nothing to do for summer, right? You got out of class and you had the summer to do whatever you want to do. Watch The Price is Right, ride your bike, be outside. But I feel now summer goes by 10 times quicker than it did in my teenage years. And again, I don't want to dwell on it. I don't want to be negative. But my point is, get out there. We have so many great events in Western New York. Taste of Buffalo, Canal Fest, Erie County Fair. Obviously, everything in the middle. We've got Lawn Fates. We've got all the great stuff. Go out and enjoy it. Go out and get the most of it. You know, maybe do an extra 30 minutes at the gym so you could enjoy some nice fair food. That's all my plan, you know, because thanks to Awaken, I'm in maintenance. I can splurge at the fair for one day. But yeah, get the most out of it. I love the summer events. I love going in and being, like I said, being downtown, just being outside. Because next thing you know, you're going to have to put on 3 layers, 2 pairs of gloves, hand warmers. And as much as I love Christmas, man, do I hate the few months that follow Christmas. We talk about how, you know, snow and how cold it is the holiday time. January comes around. February is just the most, in my opinion, the most miserable month. I know, Valentine's Day, love is in the air. But February, in my opinion, is just the most miserable month. But hopefully, if you're going to the Taste of Buffalo, we'll talk on Monday what you thought the best was at the Taste of Buffalo. Great way to discover new food. You know, Buffalo, New York, home of what I think the best food in America. I mean, you can get everything, and what you get, it's the best. We have so many great local places, and that's a great place to go and sample it. And then Canal Fest, just to be on the canal in the Tonawandas, something going on every single night. I was looking at the schedule for Canal Fest next week. You've got an event every single night. It's always packed with people. There's always live music going on. It's a great event to be at. You know what else is great to be at? Your radio from 3 to 6, because that's when this guy is on, Mr. Tom Bowerly. Tom, happy Friday.
No, it's always a happy Friday. Absolutely awesome. Happy Friday. And, you know, with the temperatures doing what they're going to do this weekend, it's very important that people make sure that they are hydrated properly and might think about adding some electrolytes to their little bottles of water they carry around, because dehydration is a real thing.
I saw your post about that, Tom, and I mean, people laugh it off. Oh, I had my bottle of water, I had this, and then, you know, I mean, they don't take into effect just how real the heat and how quickly exhaustion can take over.
Yeah, I mean, my brother Dick was doing a gig last night with one of his bands and ended up having to go to the hospital. He passed out on stage during Last Dance with Mary Jane, of all songs, just as he was trying to finish his guitar solo. And basically, it was a really bad case of dehydration, but some scary moments. But everything is cool. Everything is fine as the news reaches me. But anyway, coming up after 3 o'clock. Hey, did you hear the dog? Oh, I'm so glad that you mentioned the water main break in Cheektowaga, because there are serious infrastructure issues in that area. I used to live not very far from there, and I'll tell you, I never had so many issues with water in my life, but glad that you brought that up, Joe. But did you happen to hear the dog situation with talking about Taste of Buffalo?
I did not.
Ah, well, we did a show yesterday about how come people have to bring their dogs to public events in the summertime, yes, which is one of my major pet peeves, and it seems to be growing more and more. But that really worked out well for us. But coming up after 3 o'clock today, I'm going to continue this conversation about the cartoon. Should we just say the cartoon. And for those who don't know what we mean when we say the cartoon, it is a really vile piece of, I would call it trash journalism in the Buffalo News. Well, they would call us trash talkers. We're trash talk radio. Okay, this is trash cartooning. And it's a cartoon that appeared hours after many, many people lost their lives and their children in the floods in Texas. And it's entitled Swept Away. And you can see, half submerged, a sign that says Texas. And you see another fellow with a sign in his hands, which are above water. And you can see the MAGA hat on his head. And he is holding up the sign, which says, help, as he's being washed downriver. And the cartoon balloon says, government is the problem, not the solution. So what is the message exactly that we're supposed to get from that? Is it they deserved it because they voted for Trump? Is that the message that you get? Because that's kind of the message I got.
That's exactly what I got. It is so distasteful. And the fact that not only did he draw it, it got through a board of editors to be in print, and it's still on the front page of the Buffalo News as of last night. That to me, just, and no one wants to come on and explain or and back it up, you know, verbally and tell us exactly why you would post this.
Now, compare that to what happened at a local radio station, not our radio station, not even part of our Odyssey family of radio stations, Joe. But one of the people on air made a very crass joke about women of a certain race. And not only did that individual lose his job, but the program director lost his job. And that's I thought, oh, my goodness, you know of whom I'm speaking, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I know John, and John's a really good guy and a very talented program director. I thought that was kind of a bummer. I thought that was unfair. Don't know what he knew and when he knew it, but the Buffalo News, it's this kind of cartoon, to me, it is like a desperate child crying for attention because the child believes it is being ignored. And I think that the news may have reached a point of irrelevancy that you're going to see even more and more of this. But they worry they're going to lose their conservative readers? That happened years ago. They worry they're going to lose their middle of center readers? That happened years ago.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is the liberal stay at home. It's the liberal women that we saw at the No Kings protest. That's the subscription base for the Buffalo News.
Well, I'm glad you went to me when you did, because I just got back from trying to beat up some ICE agents, so a little tired.
Well, Tom, looking forward to listening to that. Hope you have a great weekend, my friend.
Well, I just hope I have a great show, and I do promise mediocrity. Maybe one day I'll achieve greatness. I hope.
Well, Tom, I always think it's a great show, and I can't wait to hear it after the news with Tom Puckett. Hey, thank you to everyone for the first week. Hope you enjoyed the show, and I can't wait to get back on this mic Monday. But don't forget, Sunday, Hardline will be joined by Rob Ort, will be joined by Pat Burke, and more. That's Sunday at 10 a.m. here on News Radio 930 WBEN, and then I'll be back again at 1 for the second week of the Joe Beamer Show. Again, hope you're enjoying it. Have a great weekend. Stay tuned. Tom Bowerly is up after Tom Puckett on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.